Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading for today is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored to be more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored to be more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. What led up to St. Paul writing these pastoral words? Well, Paul was on his second missionary journey into Europe with Silas and Timothy. He visited Philippi, Berea, and then Thessalonica. Thessalonica was an ideal place to plant a church. It was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia, a commercial harbor town, the primary communications hub from Rome all the way through Greece and all the way to Byzantium. In the book of Acts, St. Luke tells us this: they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul went in and he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." Luke tells us also that the Jews tolerated such preaching only for 3 Sabbaths. But then Paul spent several months planting a church in Thessalonica away from the synagogue among the Gentiles. Then the Jewish leaders actually drove Paul out of Thessalonica, and then they drove him out of Berea, and then they drove him out of Athens, where he finally landed in Corinth, where he stayed there then for about 18 months. Paul left the Christians in Thessalonica very young in the faith, brand new Christians, inundated with popular cults and fake missionaries coming through town, Greek culture, and with Pharisaic law. While the church calls 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus pastoral letters, all of Paul's letters or epistles are quite pastoral. For they are inspired to reveal the heart of the great high priest, the great pastor, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, which includes our text for today, then reveals St. Paul's pastoral heart for these dear sheep in Thessalonica. Listen again to Paul's heart. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face because we wanted to come to you. Paul had a pastoral concern for their salvation, the salvation of these Christians whom he had very dear held to his heart, the concern every faithful pastor has for his own sheep whom God entrusts to his care. He wanted again to be with them. Why? To teach the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ and the life and salvation that this Christ gives. Paul was deeply concerned that these young Thessalonican Christians might give up the faith under such heavy persecution and under Jewish leadership and false doctrine. He did not want them shepherdless. He did not want them to lose their saving faith in Jesus. He agonized that he cannot be with them to preach the good news of Jesus. For the gospel burned in his heart. And he blamed Satan, who hindered him from going back to these Thessalonican Christians. He speaks this way again in his second letter to the Thessalonians, blaming Satan for striving to foil every proclamation and spread of the gospel. We should not really be so surprised. It's the devil. For when Satan was thrown out of heaven down to the earth in his rebellion, St. John tells us that Satan targets God's people with fury in every attempt to disrupt and to block the gospel so that no one would be saved. What do you think Satan is doing? Putting in our hearts about the future of the church, congregations merging and closing, church attendance decreasing, budgets drying up, shortage of pastors and church workers, and laying over us this foggy exhaustion that keeps us from planting more churches and sending more missionaries and teaching the faith to our children and loved ones. He strives to hinder us. And he is such an irritating, suffering nuisance. But you know God's promise to Adam and Eve that he would send his son to crush Satan's head. You know the words of Hebrews chapter 2. Through death, Jesus destroys the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. And you know the final defeat as recorded by St. John, and the devil, who deceived us all, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know the words that even Luther taught us. This world's prince may still scowl, fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed of Christ's death and resurrection is done. One little word of God can fell him. And what is this word that falls Satan? What is this word that forgives our sin? What is this word that gives us eternal life past our death and grave? We've already alluded to it, but why is Paul's heart so tugged to return to God's people in Thessalonica? Why does he want to be with them in person? And why does he want to see them face to face? The answer is what he wrote to them just before this lament to be with them. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed the gospel of God. For imprisonments, for beatings, even near death, for 40 lashes, for being beaten with rods, once stoned, once shipwrecked, in danger from robbers, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the wilderness, and at sea, sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, cold and exposure. Paul was so convicted of his own saving faith in the crucified and risen Christ, he would endure all things to proclaim the gospel of God, that all may know Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sin and eternal life. What does it mean to St. Paul to proclaim the gospel of God? And we thank God constantly for this gospel, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers, he says. This is the word of Christ, the word made flesh who comes to dwell among us, crucified and risen from the dead, preached into the ears of sinners like you and me, even to this very day and this very moment, through which the Holy Spirit continues to create saving faith in us, forgives our sins, and deposits real eternal life in all who hear and believe. He's doing it right now. This is the gospel, St. Paul says, that is spoken to the Gentiles, that they too might be saved. Here we see Paul's pastoral heart. Here we see every faithful pastor's pastoral heart. Not to preach self or popular doctrines, but to preach Christ crucified. For the preacher knows that when Christ is spoken into the ear and deposited in the soul, life and salvation are promised and given. The pastoral heart is the heart of Christ, which loves and desires all people to be saved. The Christian's heart is the heart that holds God's word sacred and gladly hears and learns it. This is what the Thessalonican Christians were doing, for which St. Paul says, "What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you, dear Thessalonians?" Paul is talking about the sanctified, baptized life of these dear Christians, the life that hears and believes the word of God, that cherishes it, that suffers it, that reads it, marks it, learns it, and inwardly digests it and clings to it through suffering and death, even into eternal life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.